Now, at the beginning, I did say to you that we're having a very interesting, very good interview coming up here live in the studio today. And it's with Orla Burkett. Very unusual name. Sounds very exotic. I'm sure I'm pronouncing it wrong. Anyway, Orla is the senior diabetes dietitian with HSE. And Orla is in today to particularly talk about diabetes type 2 and how it should be taken care of and how we can help people take care of it. And indeed, words of wisdom to all of us. It would benefit us all, I'm sure, to take some good advice from Orla. So Orla, it's my pleasure to welcome you here to Near FM today. You're very welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So now, Orla, a problem has arisen since you, the health of people. Diabetes type 2. Has that become more common in recent years?
Yes, definitely. So I suppose there in Ireland in 2015, there was over 225,000 people living with diabetes in Ireland. And 90% of these people have type 2 diabetes. And I suppose the incidence is increasing kind of year on year. And that incidence is supposed to double by 2040. So yes, it's a massive
issue out there.
That people
And, well, I would imagine that like any illness really that we're ever diagnosed with, to be diagnosed with diabetes type 1 or 2, I'd say it's very scary and very overwhelming to get news like that because, well, it's just plain scary. And I suppose the first thing then that we need, any of us who are diagnosed, is to get a team around us to manage it for us, and that's where you would come in.
Yes. So I'm a community diabetes dietitian and I work in North Dublin. So I cover an area from Raheny right up to Balbriggan and everywhere in between. And what I do is I suppose I educate people about how to self-manage their diabetes.
In other words, you translate the science into
kind of simple
everyday
terms for people so that
they
can understand it. And it's, I suppose it's not just myself. There is a team of nurses as well. The clinical nurse specialists in diabetes that I work very closely with. And they would help me in educating people. And they also go into GP surgeries and see people with type 2 diabetes in the surgeries.
Do you get kids? Would you deal with children?
No.
You don't?
No.
Children
are mainly seen in the hospital setting.
Right.
So we deal with adults with type 2 diabetes. Yeah.
So, healthy eating and exercise, are they the key components in managing diabetes type 2?
So usually when someone is first diagnosed, that's the first line treatment. Diet control, they sometimes call it. And I suppose the clinical guidelines would say that when a person is diagnosed, they should have lifestyle education. And for that, there is programmes that we run. So we run two programmes. The Expert programme is a six-week programme, one morning a week for 6 weeks. And I run that myself in local primary care centres or community centres in the area. We also run a programme called Desmond. And again, we realised that a lot of people in particularly the Dublin area that I cover obviously work during the day, and it's very hard to get those 6 mornings off sometimes. So the Desmond programme is one full day where they're educated all about how to look after their diabetes and how they things that might change in their diet or physical activity. We talk about so much.
It's guidance. You give them guidance. At that stage.
Yeah.
What does that word stand for? That I haven't come across it.
The Desmond.
I'm sure it's D forever something. I'm sure it'd be a long title or something. But anyway,
yeah,
we don't need to know. As long as we know it's there, it's you. That's the important thing. And Orla, you know, before you get to that stage and anyone ever gets to you, why would anyone suspect that they might have diabetes if it hasn't been picked up now in a routine blood test with the doctor for any reason, how would you suspect it yourself and say, my God, that's not right, I shouldn't be? How would you know symptoms?
So some of the symptoms that people might experience and that people tell us during the courses that we run. So you may be going to the toilet quite frequently, especially at night time. The opposite side of that is you may have an increased thirst. You may be extremely tired as well. Unexplained weight loss is another symptom. Regular episodes of thrush or genital itching. A slow healing of cuts and wounds or blurred vision. So I suppose the key point that I suppose we have to make when I'm discussing the symptoms is if you feel that you are experiencing any of those things, it may not be diabetes, just because I'm saying them here today.
Yes, but the symptoms could be common. It's time to see the doc anyway.
It's time to see the doctor, yeah. So isn't go it to your GP.
With any of those definitely. Symptoms, you know. And diabetes, what are the organs that mainly affect if it's untreated? What part of the body is the main target for diabetes to attack, shall we say?
So I suppose with diabetes comes the issue of possible complications. If when someone is diagnosed with diabetes, again, at the Expert or Desmond course, we tell them about the possible long-term complications. And I suppose there's a number of those. So retinopathy, so your eyes, you really need to look after your eyes. And there is a national screening program for that. And people are signed up for that once they have been diagnosed, usually by their GP. We also have to look after our feet. And again, yeah. we tell people about that during at the course.
But we should say, sort of frightening everybody, diabetes type 2 is very manageable.
Yes.
And normal life, take care and you can carry on once you take care of yourself. And
yeah, so I suppose those risks of those complications, if we look after our diet and our lifestyle, that risk of getting those complications can be reduced if we manage our blood sugar, our blood glucose levels, and we can help to do that by looking at what changes we can make to our diet and our physical activity levels. Yeah.
So, diet. Now, I suppose that's the biggest thing people have to take on. So they don't go on mad diets. No, they don't go on a mad diet. They get good advice and they learn how to read labels, do they?
Yes.
And is it all about carbohydrates and the management of them, is it?
Yeah, so we call it carbohydrate awareness.
Right.
Both courses, we talk about portion sizes, we talk about the different types of carbohydrates. We also look at the food pyramid, and then we look at food labels. So there's lots and lots of information on diet in both the Expert and Desmond course.
And is there an easy way to count carbohydrates? I mean, it's an awful bore reading labels in the supermarket, isn't it? And is there an easy way to count?
There is.
Oh, good. Pass it on. Tell us all. We can all learn something and do it, hopefully.
Yeah. So I suppose we have a little card that we give to people to look at labels, and they find that really helpful. And I suppose we don't suggest that people count carbohydrates when they have type 2 diabetes. We go into more about portion sizes,
and maybe plates, different size plates, and things like that.
But I suppose it's small steps that people can take to change things. So we do an action plan at the end of each of the courses, and we look at maybe one or two things that people might like to change. I suppose it's a gradual process, setting goals for yourself and trying to achieve these goals.
Manageable goals. And overweight. Now, most of us are overweight in this country. And not you, Orla. No, but I look at you. But most of the rest of us are. And is this, you know, a danger sign for, well, it's a danger sign for a lot of illnesses, but is it a problem with diabetes, being overweight?
Yeah, so I suppose some of the symptoms that I explained earlier on, many of the people who come to the courses may not have experienced those symptoms, but there are risk factors that make you at risk of developing type 2 diabetes. And I suppose one of those risk factors is being overweight, but particularly if we're carrying extra weight around our middle, okay, so around our vital organs, that is a risk factor for developing type 2 diabetes. Also, if a close member of your family, so your mom, your dad, brother or sister, or if you have a child with diabetes, that increases your risk.
Yes, we often see that in families, or uncles, and you know, now that it's been picked up. But I mean, it's like years ago, people had diabetes. They had a lot of illnesses that were never recognised. Yeah. But now there's a kind of a history in families that they can be aware of things like that, which is very, very good. Is diabetes type 2, is it reversible?
That's a question I get asked probably every course.
Do you?
I suppose we would suggest that once you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, it always has to be monitored for forevermore. Yeah. And we would discuss ways people can monitor their diabetes during the course. There is, I suppose, emerging research that does suggest that type 2 diabetes may go into remission. But I suppose the long-term results of those studies aren't available yet. So we're just not exactly
we're not there yet.
The long-term. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you get it under control and you feel fine, it doesn't mean that you can drift back into your old habits.
No. So we are looking towards lifelong changes, sustainable changes for people when they do the course. Yeah.
What age group do you mainly deal with now, Orla, in your work here in the north side of Dublin?
There's a huge variation. On the 6-week course, I would mainly see probably adults from maybe 50 upwards. The Desmond course, I suppose the demographic that we see is more maybe 30s, 40s, just because they may work and they may not be able to get the time off for the longer course. But it really depends. Sometimes people do the Desmond course and they feel they might want some more information, so they go on to the expert course because it's just a little bit more detail. Obviously, it's a lot. There's 15 hours in the expert course compared to 6 hours for the Desmond course. So people like to do that extra bit if they want a better handle on their diet.
That's great, Earl. I didn't know there was a long time path there. I didn't realise that. I thought once you're diagnosed, now you get help and this is what you should do. I didn't know there was such support out there to take you through it and make you understand it, which you do nothing unless you understand it.
That's it.
Now, men or women, in your experience, is there a balance or is there... what do you think?
It's both, really.
Both.
I'm not sure.
It's not... But you see in front of you.
Yeah.
It's an even mix, more or less.
Yeah.
Now, like it's true, I often heard that you should eat the carbs before you drink them. Often heard that.
Yeah.
Never did it, but anyway. Smoking, drinking, full Irish breakfast. No to all of them, is it? No chance of a full Irish breakfast at all, no.
If we think about our healthy eating guidelines, I suppose that full Irish falls way up on the top shelf. So the food pyramid that we look at is like a pyramid. So again, we should, the full Irish is up at the top. So not very often.
Even at Christmas, you might make an exception.
You might make an exception.
Yes, but that's all right. That's allowed. Smoking, drinking, what influences that, do you think? Or has it been researched enough to show that it does make a difference?
So I suppose we know that, for example, a person who has diabetes and who smokes is nine times more likely to have a cardiovascular or a heart event, so a stroke or a heart attack. So we know that smoking does have a massive effect on our health. And again, we would discuss that during the expert and Desmond courses. And there are smoking cessation officers available in the community now. So we would link people up with those if they so wished.
They're very successful, yes. And they're well advertised around here. I often have a notice in about them, about those deceased smoking courses. And they're very good. They're very effective. People are interested. And going back to the diet, What is palm oil? I often heard palm oil should always be used I never saw it anywhere, but I heard of it. What is palm oil for cooking? People with diabetes.
Yeah, so palm oil, again, it's mainly a fat source, obviously, and it is one of the, what we call the, it's a bad type of fat, I suppose, if you want to say that. So it's mainly in the saturated fat context we look at that. So we would encourage people to swap to unsaturated fats instead.
So it comes under that heading, generally.
Yeah.
Now, anybody with diabetes type 2, is it very important to have regular meal times? Are they allowed snack in between? Or is that...
So regular meals, they are very important for people with type 2 diabetes. Snacks in between are fine. It really is individual to the person, I suppose. Right. And that's what the evidence is showing, that we need to be more base our advice on what is suitable for each individual.
Right.
So I suppose it's just that snacky foods tend to be those high fat, sugary foods. And really, we're not really eating enough fruit and vegetables.
That's true.
So I think a third of our population is achieving the 5 a day intake of fruit and vegetables. So we would encourage maybe snacking on
healthy
snacks. Yeah. And again, people, I get asked about your fruit intake a lot because there is natural
sugar
in fruit.
Is there more in the juice of the fruit in a carton than there is in an actual apple or orange?
If you think of juice as just the juicer has done all the work for you, so that the sugar from the juice is going to get into our blood quite quickly in comparison to a fresh fruit. So there's lots of extra fibre and vitamins and minerals in there. So we encourage kind of fresh fruit where possible.
And what about eggs or honey? Is honey a substitute for sugar on a plan for diabetes? No?
Instead of
sugar.
No, we wouldn't.
You wouldn't say use honey.
Swap into
because
honey
it's
instead.
Sugary too. Yeah.
So sweeteners, again, they're fine in, because we, again, it's a question I get asked a lot during the course. Are sweeteners okay? I suppose we eat them in such small quantities, and sweeteners are extremely sweet.
Yes.
In a very light amount, a small amount. So they are seem to be safe in the quantities that we eat.
And what about eggs? Are eggs?
Yeah, so I suppose, again, another question.
These things, you know.
Questions, yeah, you're brilliant.
These things, you know.
And it's great that I get this opportunity to inform people on the radio.
Oh, it's our pleasure. It's great to have you in, Orla.
So eggs, I suppose the advice or the thoughts on eggs back in the 70s was that the cholesterol in eggs had an effect on our cholesterol in our blood, but actually... There's not much evidence, no evidence for that anymore. So eggs are okay. They're
okay.
A good protein source.
Yeah. Chocolate, no. Now and again. Like the full Irish, no?
A bit like the full Irish, yeah.
Right. We skip that, so. Now,
Not every day.
Now, have you found, or is it proven, that diabetes is common or not during pregnancy? Is it a big part of...
Yeah, so 1 in 7... pregnancies are linked. The woman gets gestational diabetes, it's called, and that's diabetes in pregnancy. And I suppose they are very closely monitored by the maternity hospitals. Yeah.
So it's picked up pretty early.
So it has changed from years ago. Maybe it wasn't picked up, but now, yeah, it's picked up very quickly. And I suppose. It's just a thing to note that if a woman has had diabetes in pregnancy, that's another risk factor for getting type 2 diabetes down the line. So it's just important that they are monitored
at that stage.
By their GP, yeah.
Now, the dreaded world for a lot of people, exercise world, diabetes.
Yeah.
It's good. Exercise is good.
Exercise is fantastic to help manage our blood sugar, our blood.
Yes.
The correct term is blood glucose levels. Yeah. So we the Irish as a population are not getting enough exercise.
No,
so,
that's true. I'd agree with you there. Yeah,
the recommendations for exercise is that we should be doing 150 minutes of physical activity during the week.
150?
150 minutes. So that's...
All of us should be doing that.
All of us, yeah.
Goodness.
So that's 30 minutes five times a week, but you don't have to do it like that. You can break it up into 10-minute slots because not everyone has 30 minutes to allocate to physical activity. So I suppose the main advice is just get moving where we can and stop sitting, break the sitting as such.
Break the sitting.
Yeah, so maybe take, get off the at a bus stop, one stop earlier and walk and park further away at the shops. Any way we can kind of integrate it into our life, our lifestyle, you know, take the stairs instead of the lift. Those kind of things are all really helpful.
All common sense. Well, we should all be doing anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So we might do them, but we know we should be doing them. Now, do you know what I must ask you about? I was reading something lately about, now this is extreme cases, I know, and I only read it in about England, trial courses, that dogs can be trained to deal and protect children or older people to sense diabetes, that they're going into a coma. Yeah. Is that true?
I don't know much about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think so. I think they can sense perhaps hypoglycemia, so when our blood sugar levels go 4 or below. I don't know much about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it is interesting.
Well, it has been credited with saving people and helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, you know, it was a great idea. So yeah. If it works.
And I suppose just people with type 2 diabetes, they're mainly not at risk of hypos unless they're on certain medication.
Right.
Okay. So again, we discussed that all at the Desmond.
Yeah, that's interesting,
courses.
Medication. So is it compatible? Something has to be, what you're already taking, say, for underlying illnesses. So is there any particular, is this all to be changed or monitored if somebody gets diabetes? Does it affect what somebody might be on, say, for heart problems or
I suppose,
all fit in?
Heart disease is one of the possible complications,
yes,
with type 2 diabetes. So usually we would see people who would be on diabetes medications would probably be on your medications for their heart as well.
Yes.
But yeah, it all has to be monitored.
It all has to be linked in.
Yeah.
What, now, not that it would mean much to most of us, myself included, what would be a safe level of if we say, had a blood test done and we get a report back and we see something and we might be concerned about our sugar level. What's a good reading? What's a normal reading for?
So I suppose there's different ways to monitor
it.
Yeah. So I suppose the kind of gold standard is the measurement that your GP would take. So he would take a blood from your arm and he would look at it's called the HbA1c, and that would be an average of how you're managing the sugar in your blood over a 3-month period. And again, there is guidance on what
take a prick every day yourself?
Yeah, so some people do. It depends on what medication you're on, and there's guidelines around that. So some people would have a monitor that they would prick their finger with on a daily basis, or maybe 2 to 3 times a week, and they can monitor their blood sugars that way.
And they know when to get help if they need extra help if something goes crazy.
I would encourage people, if they haven't attended one of our Expert or Desmond courses, you'll learn all about that.
Well, that's great. That's great support.
During the course, yeah.
And how many would you have on each course now? Is it a kind of manageable numbers, or would you get a big group together? And
The average is probably about 10 people.
Oh, that's manageable.
On each course.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, they do learn from us. So we can give them advice, but also they learn a lot from the people attending the course as well.
Of course.
You know, everyone in the room has been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and yes, I'm always learning from the people attending as well. They're always telling me something new
something
and what
new.
They're experiencing. So
of course,
it's a great kind of outlet.
It's support, very supportive to each other, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, around this area, around this north side of Dublin, where exactly now would these courses be easily availed of?
Yeah, so our next expert course is starting in January. So that's the one that's over 6 weeks, one morning a week for 6 weeks.
And where's that?
That's in across the road in Coolock Primary Care Centre.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. That's great, yeah.
And Desmond's, I'm just trying to organise the rooms for Desmond. We're hoping to hold the Desmond course. So that's the one day, one full day of education. That's going to be in Swords in February. So I suppose to get on those courses, or even to just find out more about them, the number, I'll give you the number now. So it's 1850 24 1850, and if you ring that number and just say you'd like to find out a bit more about Desmond or Expert, the operators from that number will put you onto the admin support that we have in our area. I suppose it is just to note that these courses are run throughout the country. It's not just
Dublin. That's great.
North Dublin. So that is the best number to ring.
To ring.
Yeah.
And can you self-refer or do you have to be referred to it?
No, you can self-refer. Yeah.
You can.
Once you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, you can self-refer.
You can self-refer.
These courses. Yeah.
And would it, you know, a waiting list? Because as I said, it's very frightening to be diagnosed with any illness, but something like that would certainly scare a lot of people. And you say, oh, I have to wait a year, to wait 6 months. Would it be a long wait now to get on these courses? Well, in a city, of course, it's different to the country.
Yeah. So probably maybe 4 to 6 months. Sometimes.
Wait.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you check in with your doctor if you...
Yes.
4 to 6 months. And would it hurry it up if the doctor referred you? Would you...
No.
No, it doesn't. It just goes on a plan that you have that works.
But I suppose it's... I'm saying 4 to 6 months is kind of an average. It could be sooner.
Yeah.
So what we try to do is, for example, the course in Coolock, the admin lady, she has invited all the patients on the waiting list living in that area. Okay. So even if they might have been, some might have been referred maybe in July, but some may have been just referred maybe in November.
Yes.
So I suppose there's only one of me at the same time, so I can't cover.
That's a pity.
Yeah.
We could do with a lot of you.
So it really depends.
Yes.
I'm just kind of giving you maybe an average.
Yes,
an average answer.
And so before I ask you about the career path that takes you to being a dietitian, any particular tips now? For over the Christmas, particularly now, I know it's lifelong and we should be doing that, but say, with all the temptations of Christmas now, any tips to manage the diet of somebody with type 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Over the Christmas.
So, I suppose, just thinking of a few things I said earlier.
Yeah. Not to overindulge, I suppose.
That's it, not to overindulge. So, save your selection boxes or your tins of sweets. They will last into January, so they don't all need to be eaten all at once.
Well said, yes.
And then, I suppose, get out for a walk.
Get out.
In the daylight, when you can. Yeah.
Yes.
That's just simple.
Common sense.
Yeah,
common sense. Definitely. Now, I have never, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Maybe I should get out more. But I have never come across a man who's a dietitian. Is that true? Maybe
few,
I should get out more.
There's a few, I think.
Are there a few?
there is.
There?
Yeah.
Thought that was interesting.
Very few and far between, but there is a few, yeah.
And why do you think that is? Is it, going back now to the career path?
Yeah.
Now, when you decided that you want to be a dietitian, you didn't wake up one day. Were you just interested in the science of food or...
Yeah,
what brings you there?
I took a long route.
Oh, well, scenic route is always good. Yeah,
I suppose this, it's kind of useful for people to know that you don't have to straight away decide to be a dietitian. I graduated from school and I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I did an arts degree in Maynooth first, and I didn't know what to do, and just science had always, or health kind of science, that always interested me, and my mum had quite a few food allergies, So I looked into dietetics and I thought that there was lots of scope.
Right.
So I applied to the UK. And again, I was starting off doing a degree because I didn't have a kind of background of science. So I did a 4-year degree in Coventry University.
4 years?
Yeah.
Coventry.
Yeah.
Wow.
And there was actually, when I got to Coventry, there was lots of people there quite like me that had maybe done something different in Ireland. Lots of people doing physiotherapy over there, occupational therapy. I finished the course in Coventry
there.
Then, and I kind of came out at a bad time. I suppose I came out in 2012 when there was a recession.
Right.
So I worked in the NHS for 2 years in Birmingham and then in Milton Keynes. And I was a specialist health promotion dietitian over there. So again, I was dealing with people and children who were overweight or obese and helping them manage their diet. And then I came back here in 2015 and I worked in both the hospital and the community setting, but I got this job just over a year and a half ago, and yeah, I've been here ever since.
Well, that's an impressive background. You well deserve your job here, believe
so
me.
Just if it's, I suppose it's good for people to know. Maybe you mightn't have picked something you liked the first time round, but
yes,
you can always get there in the
you
end.
You can. There's always a path going to where you really want to go in the end.
Yeah.
And in this country, shall we say, do companies ever employ dietitians, large, big international companies, or is the employment mainly with hospitals and health boards? And
it's a mix of both.
Mix, is it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Dietitians, I suppose, we have a protected title as a dietitian, and we're regulated by CORU, is the new organisation who regulates ourselves. And I suppose that's really important for the public to
absolutely
know as well,
yeah.
That we're giving
that it is regulated.
Advice. Yeah.
Now, the difference between a dietitian and what do they call themselves? Something nutritionist.
Nutritionist.
Yeah.
Is
that a regulated
no,
area?
No, so a nutritionist, that's not a regulated title yet in Ireland. It
yes.
is in the UK.
Is it?
Yes, I think so. But we're not in Ireland, so again, anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. So
right.
That's just important.
It is very important that people take advice from the right person, the right controlled area, like something like that that's regulated.
Yeah,
I thought that was very important. So, anyway, tell us again where we can, around here particularly now, anybody's thinking of doing a course that just wants to chat to you or check it out, tell us where we can easily contact you. That number again, we put
so
it up
that
on our
number again is 1850 24 1850. And if
what title would you look it up now on the website?
HSE Live.
HSE Live.
The number for HSE Live.
Right. That'll take you to it.
Yeah. And so just inform the operator when you get through to that number that you would like to get onto an expert. So expert or Desmond, DESMOND, diabetes education course.
Right.
And they have all the list of contacts there, so they will direct you to whatever area of the country that you're living in, that so that you can get on to one of those courses.
But the good news around here is anyway, January, you're starting here. The course will be starting here in Coolock in the primary care centre.
No, I think that's booked up now.
But they know after 6 weeks there'll be another one coming up.
There will, yeah.
So get your name down
get
if
your
you're
name
interested.
Down, that's it, yeah. We have courses running throughout the year all over North Dublin, yeah. And there's 18 of me in the country as such. So
18.
There's 18 community diabetes
is
dietitians. So we're all doing similar, running similar courses. So
18 of the whole country?
Yeah.
Wow, that's so many. How many are trained every year? How many graduate into this world every year, roughly?
There was only one course in DIT up to a few years ago, but now there is a postgraduate course for dietetics in UCD. I think UL, the University of Limerick, are starting one, and UCC are starting one too.
Right.
So it's getting...
It's been built up.
It's been built
up.
Getting bigger, yeah. So there should be more graduates
coming out
coming out
over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting. Well, Orla, it was a great pleasure to have you in.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was great. That information is, well, vital to all of us, indeed. And as we say, you know, just take care. We take care of everybody else around Christmas, but ourselves, we're kind of, especially if it's just something we think we can manage, like type 2 diabetes. But it's very important to be aware that it's a year-long care route, isn't it, to take care of yourself and get good advice. And the help is out there. And the encouragement, which is very important.
That's it, and the support. Yeah.
And the support. Yeah. And so you're not alone, so that's a very good thing to know. Now, we'll put this up on our own website or a podcast, so it'll be there for anybody.
Brilliant.
Who wants to listen to it again or get somebody else to listen to it, because it's all very good advice. So we'd love for you to come back in again another time when you've another course set up.
Yeah.
And talk to us about it.
Brilliant. So we might actually be running screening days as well in
but
the new
they're very
year, so
important.
Just let you know when they're happening.
So
you can mention
because
them. Yeah.
We have many courses now that deal with health here on Near FM, the mornings and all that. So there's different listeners all day long. Mm-hmm. So that would be great information to get out there, that there was screening available.
Yeah.
So we'd certainly get the message out if you'd like to know about it.
Thank you for having me today. It was a pleasure.
Oh, good. I'm delighted.
And happy Christmas to
everyone.
And
you
too,
Orla. And every time I'm eating those tins of sweets, I think of you and say, they'll last until January. They will. They'll last until January.